Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... Human suffering is the ultimate renewable resource. I'm going to have some fun with this podcast going through. Now, that was just a statement I sent off in an email to a friend who's actually going through absolute nightmare of suffering at the hands of bullies. And I'm just going to have to say, look, this is a podcast while driving, and there's certain aspects of thoughts from all directions coming together and appearing as ultimate madness. And I think a lot of people used to suggest that. Now, I've had a bit of a brain injury, a brain flush, and certain things have come back, and certain the ability to think through systems on different levels have come back, and a bit of the machinery, rehabilitation machinery has sort of come back. But it doesn't mean that I've completely said, oh, junk, well, it's the way I thought before, that's junk, let's start from... I've still got this basic scenario of building things up. So let's look at the statement again, that human suffering is the ultimate renewable resource. Now, a renewable source is a bit like a solar cell. It's always running, you have the solar cells out, and you don't do anything, you just get it for free. And I've obviously, when listening to it, had this thought. It hasn't come from nowhere. It comes from the idea that if you've got a group of people and they're well fed, that everything's sorted, and they want something to happen, well, the easiest thing they can do, they've got an option, they can do something good for someone that takes time, resources, or they can make someone suffer. And to suffer, you have to have a cognitive level. So basically, if you're, say, a pack of wolves, you can sort of reject one wolf and hen peck it, and so what, well, not hens, but you know, wolf bite, not hen pecking, the pecking order, you achieve what you're going through. And in essence, say you've got a flock of chickens or whatever it is, they will peck and there'll be a pecking order and someone will go right down. And if you go above the pecking order, this system goes across. Now, fortunately, the chickens have a very small brain and they get, oh, I pecked, I don't like that, I'll just get on eating things. The more sophisticated you are, the more attuned you are into suffering. And of course, the more attuned you are in suffering, this is a great resource for people who are using. And in essence, I'm going to use another analogy coming up soon. In essence, part of suffering is getting the pecking order going across. And the thing is that once we have solved the basics of life, we can actually keep on going out and actually causing as much suffering as possible. In fact, it becomes a suffering arms race. Who can be the biggest dick in a group will win. It's sort of like, it's no longer, if you collect nuts and you collect sufficient nuts such that everyone is absolutely full, if you come in and actually come in with a second batch of nuts, people go, oh, well, okay, thanks. And then a fourth and fifth, and people go, oh, Jesus Christ. I'm just putting in a little bit of an Australian accent here because I really hope my German friend will listen to it. And I know she likes listening to the occasional Australian accent coming up. However, if you can actually make people suffer, they never... It's a negative thing. They never have enough suffering. Well, people can never say, oh, gee, that's just, I can't suffer, I can suffer no more, that's it. You can actually, there's a sort of bottomless pit of suffering that you can put people through. So that's one point. Now, the big other point is that obviously it is a human activity, and once we've got the intellect to suffer deeply, it means it actually invites people to actually fulfill your nightmare. So, you know, why are bosses nightmares? Well, that's the basically job description of a boss. That is someone who is so, look, dare I say, fucked up that they will be your nightmare. And you say, well, surely this is unproductive. Well, I have just gone through a interesting time looking at, indeed, parasites, these little beetles called stink bugs. Now, what I'm going to say, to step back a bit, obviously this is brain damage, thinking at more different things, thinking about you, thinking about evil, thinking about suffering. Stink bugs. Now, it is basically a form of intelligence. It's like flawed intelligence, i.e. you used to be able to figure skate, but now you get out on the ice and you know quite a sort of what you want to do, but you flops around the place and people are looking for the thing and think, what a wanker. But, you know, in your mind you are figure skating, but ultimately the thoughts come out as sort of complete disasters. And you're in your head, you have got key changes, different music going on, and it looks to the outside viewer as a complete wanker. Please get off the ice, let a proper person, a professional, figure state. So unfortunately, you're listening to this unprofessional stuff. Unprofessionally, I'm key changing and talking about these stink bugs. These are little guys. You don't have a coin. I can't actually communicate to someone in Germany the size of something. Oh, I don't know. The width of a sausage. Not the width. If you cut through a sausage, the cross-sectional width of the sausage is the size of these stink bugs. They go up to trees and they do things. Firstly, they are revolting to eat. No one wants to interact with them. No one loves them. No one likes to eat. They've actually become specialist in terms of their chief defense in life is being stinky. Birds don't eat them because they're yuck. And then I actually have got a few bits of stink bug rash where they've actually squirted on me as I, their ultimate predator, intellectual predator, have worked out how to actually get them off. So I should just say that I've got this telescopic pole with glue on the end, and I pick them up, pop, pop the glue, and then bong into the bucket of water. And these things, they've said, I've got stink on my side. Who needs to swim? And that's probably the last thought going through their head as they actually drown in water, because they haven't evolved to swim, the little bastards. And also the little juniors, besides the ones they can stay afloat till they drown, the little juniors go straight to the bottom. But let's talk about stink bugs. One of the things they do is that they stink. And the major thing of stinking is it attracts the mates. So very soon, for no reason at all, one branch will have 20 stink bugs on it. You know, it looks like 20, but by the time you count it off, it's really generally about 7. Initially, your brain says, oh, there's 20 there, but when you do the body count, there's only 7 all in all. And so their revoltingness is a reason, an advertisement for other revolting people to congregate them. So, I'd like to go on a little bit more about here, but I'm actually going to be at my destination too bloody soon. So, the reason is, there's two reasons why bosses go for it. One is that they're stupid and they have reasoned, oh, I've seen so-and-so being mean, people have been mean to me, I know I'm going to be really mean, which is great. But one of the things is they can't be mean in secret. They have to actually engender the mean people around them to flock to them. And in general, when they've fucked up enough and they've run their course, they get promoted. So in general, you have a fuckerarchy, not hierarchy. They're all fucked. So you've got the boss, but the people above them are equally immoral. And they are, and that's because they've selected. You've got a whole lot of crap bosses, and you've actually got, oh, I know, who am I going to put in charge of all these? I know, someone who's just like them. And so what happens is that there's this reasoning that if you started to actually pull them up and make them an account, there are these things that they don't know, and there's this secret sort of the secret to being a boss is actually corrupt. Perhaps you'd say it's corruption to pull it forward. So that's I suppose an interesting. So like stink bugs, they stink. They grab their little mates around. They can fuck up, and they all go there. But they've got a limitation. They can't swim. One of the things I've noted is that they're hopeless at covering the metadata on their documents that they go to show to you. So I unfortunately wouldn't have no ability to help you with the metadata of a German document. But there is a useful thing to do is that, so these people are indeed stupid. They are really the most stupid people I have ever seen. And of course, they flock together, they ensure that they, if the last thing is they're not going to hire a middle manager who's honest. Because a middle manager who's honest will start saying, hang on, I can follow this destruction trail and it leads to you up and upper management. They're not going to do it. So there's sort of a protective layer of shit. Now, why would this be so? This very same reason that human suffering is an unlimited resource. Someone else is doing the hunting. Someone else is sewing the clothes. Someone else is gathering the wood. Oh, that only leaves one job, and that's to fuck things up and actually really make everybody else miserable. I think that's my job. And look at this. I'm actually causing the entire place to fall apart. Now, let's talk about... So I hope I've got that concept up, and I've got a limited amount of time before I reach my destination. Let's talk about why humans... I'll just quickly say, look, imagine you are a duck, okay, and it's duck hunting season. You'd be completely appalled because you've got these fantastic animals, creatures, who've got farmland, have got cultivation, and they're going out into the wild, dressing up and shooting ducks. Bang, bang, bang. However, you can imagine one wise duck saying, hang on, let's hide in the bush and watch these people. And before long, you see one person stealing from another person blowing the other person up with a duck shooting gun. They start shooting each other. And they say, hang on, is that not the most enjoyable thing to see humans shooting each other? And I think humans shooting each other is a key driver. We have, as a predator, the greatest predator, human predator, is other humans, right? And so we've created, normally evolution has been an arm race between different species. We've created our own arms race, quite literally our own arms race. And if you can imagine a duck saying, well, if you think duck hunters shooting each other and shooting up their family and holding up banks is fun, wait till I tell you about, and they've run a tape of World War II or the Americans fighting the Japanese, and they're saying, now, you've got no idea what communism is, and you've got no idea what Nazism and democracy, no idea. But these people think that they can actually solve this by blowing people up. And go, whoa! And they see the bombs growing up and people running out of trenches. And they say, and as a grand finale, they show them Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Oh, wow! If you're a duck, you'd be amazed at the human race being so stuffed. And basically, World War II and all this human history is just a family domestic, which has just got completely out of hand. Now, let's talk about... I'm going to have some time here to chat to you. I've just got to look at the turn-off. I've got to go from here. It's always a real teeth grinder here. I'm driving at the moment. The interesting thing here is that you've got evolution, and for somehow we've turned a vice into an asset. Now, the thing is that if I have a group of 50 people and for whatever reason a group tends to say be an asshole and they can't live together and they hate each other and they start fighting, they can't be 20 meters away from each other. They've got to be a good day's walk around so they can gather in different areas, so this they've got to live and not fight all the time. And so there's this reason in that if you break things up, you've got a smaller number of people in the same area of resources. So it's sort of a way of basically killing each other and predating. Okay, just crashing in here. Sorry, I just don't want to die while podcasting. Not a good look. Okay, so this is great. I've got heaps of time. I'll be able to just park and chat this one up. That's great. Normally I'm just always struggling, slightly disorganized, struggling for time. Okay, so you've got this quintessential question. What is it about being a fuckwit? And so if you've been in Australia, you would remember. Apparently that's a purely Australian term. Someone who we call them fuckwits. I think that may well be a purely Australian term. I'm not sure. So what is it about being a complete asshole which has led to the human race being fantastic? Well, it's meant that it's like a colloidal solution. So milk. Let's talk about milk. Obviously, I've talked about stink bugs. I've talked about human suffering. I'm talking about human evolution. Now I'm talking about milk. Absolutely. This is what's happened to a fragmented brain. You've got all this information flying through. Milk is little flat globules, and it's got molecules, a molecular case around it, which is repelling the other molecular case. So if you get a drop of milk, a little drop of milk, and put it in some water, you will see it disperse right throughout the water. This fat, beautiful thing. This is a molecular super engine to get it go across. You put a bit of rennet in it, which destroys the casein. I'm not quite sure how it goes. The casein protein on the outside, which is doing the repelling, it will clob into a big clot. Now, of course, dispersing out of a property means that you're laying heaps and heaps of beds, you're covering all the territory, and you disperse out of reasonably good land to crap land and onto really good land again. It's a way of dispersing. So if you're a bacteria, you basically, if you were a piece of pus, you'd want to actually be a good milky piece of pus so that when you went into a water system, you disperse everywhere. And that's essentially what the human race has done. The Aboriginals look as though they haven't followed this model. There's something strange going on with the Aboriginals. This is in Australia. It looks as though they've migrated around the coastal regions and developed a coastal migration process, which is different. However, the other parts of the planet, you've had the people hating each other and dispersing. So there's a process like it. Now, I've got to finish this up soon. I've just got to check what the time is. Oh, good. The other aspect to this is, the big question is, why are bosses so similar? Why are they so predictable? Why are they stupid? Why are they a bit bad at metadata? Why do they have no sense of timing? They have no... people often mistake a sense of timing from attack. So if you can imagine a really angry domesticated bear in a gift shop, it would be destroying everything all the time. It'd just be angry, ripping it all across. That's what your boss is like. However, that's different from a calculated attack, which is, say, a tiger waiting in the grass, or ideally, say, a crocodile, which is there, will watch you for several days and pick your habits, think about it, and then bite you. And you're gone. Okay, that's what the crocodile, the ambush predator. So bosses tend to be bears in a gift shop, creating huge amounts of havoc. They're not ambush predators or anything like that. And as such, they rack up a lot of CCTV footage of them being complete knobs. I don't know if you got that word in Germany either, a knob. Okay, so the big question I have, obviously, is how is it that that crap person is similar to that crap person, just similar to that crap person over here? Because they've obviously haven't been to a crap person school, or have they? And they've obviously haven't had their dad as a crap person. You can't. There's something going on, something which is non-scientific, and it's took me a while to actually pick it up. There is, okay, we've got stink bugs, we've done milk, we've done human race, stuff like that. We're going to do Tyrannosaurus rex. So Tyrannosaurus rex is a dinosaur, a pteropod. So you've got the ornithosaurs, what are they called? The sauropods and the pod, foot, and then the pteropods, the pterosaurs. Pterosaurs are the raptors, the ones with the huge teeth, and the Tyrannosaurus rex was an ultimate hunter. It eventually evolved to huge head, stupid little hands, waving hands, and a huge mouth. And all it could do, if it evolved such a, all it could do is it couldn't graze, it couldn't go anything, it grew to such huge size, evolutionary, it got itself into a niche of eating things, with these huge jaws would just go through and just rip out part of a stegosaurus and going, oh, fuck, that's my kidney. Okay, come back with, like, not, and then you have a pack of them on you. It's interesting that pack animals. The interesting thing is that you're cleaning up your T-Rex. You've got one T-Rex, and you've got the next T-Rex, and they look as so they could have evolved from each other. But, in fact, that is not what has happened. What's happened is that waiting in the wings are people, animals, raptors similar to T-Rexes, waiting, and what they do is they evolve similarly, the same body plan, and actually muscle out the existing T-Rex. So the T-Rex doesn't adapt. It actually has a series of proteges coming up, evolutionary proteges, and so their DNA distinct. So you've got one. Chief predator, a second chief predator who looks almost the same but a slight bit different. And the reason is that by being an asshole, which I know people have got a romantic view of it, but truly, if you were a dinosaur, a T-Rex would be your ultimate annoying boss. Going chewing. But because it's such a way, it's actually pushed animal behavior in such a way such that your only niche is you have to be like it to get in there. And so this is what I think is that bosses, by being horrible, do two things. They are the stink bugs. They actually attract other bosses and create a hierarchy which you can't win. And they're not about to do a they're not going to they're not Well, the lawyers aren't stupid, but because if you push them, they're all interconnected by horribleness, a generation, a fabric, a tissue of lies, so to speak, that they're there. But also, they're bad in such a way that they do expire. They don't have a long lifespan, bosses. And this is they're expendable as well. So they get put off to the side manager, or they get promoted to incubate the next generation of assholes. So, but the interesting thing is that it's the other people watching them. The only way to manage is by being an asshole. It's the only way that the dinosaurs were going. The dinosaurs, so you've got a lot of convergent evolution. Now, there's a lot of convergent evolution mimicry that if you were poisonous and you can look like a poisonous one, you'll be left alone. However, there's a lot of convergent evolution of this, of predation. Given that all the ways to kill people, there's just been they generally tend to focus on it. Because if you've got a second way of killing, which is more efficient, that's okay. But if you can actually stuff your competition by actually doing the same things they do a little bit better, you can actually drive them off the road. You can push them out. So I don't know if that makes sense. So this is one of the mysteries I've had. Is why are assholes so much the same? What is the communism? How is it communication? And I think it means that an asshole communicates how assholism is done. But it means that we put up all defences, and we've actually legislated what an asshole can and cannot do, and they do precisely what they can do. But so by trying to protect against them, we've created the ultimate asshole machine. By trying to protect against them, we've said you can't do this. That's obvious. So they're becoming sort of an ambush predator bear in a gift shop type of thing. And people watch them going, if you do something wrong, people have got all the footage system there. Because there's all these factors meaning pushing these people to be pretty much the same thing. This is just looking at some of the equations. And a lot of fundamental game theory is your idea. I don't know if you've seen Beautiful Mind, is working out the least loss system or avoiding high loss scenarios. So essentially, humans we've basically got food hooked up. We really don't have to work. I don't understand why people are working so much for so much things. So we're now moved on, specialist in terms of minimizing our personal loss and advancing our cause by having other people have huge amounts of loss. And if you have a huge amount of loss, you can get other assholes to pack hunt and to support each other. When your strategy doesn't fall over, you get replaced. Other people who want to get ahead, don't know how to, have got the blueprint for doing it. So there's always another asshole in the wings. So I don't think legislating or working against them is there. I just think we really have to move on to another plane to go forward. I hope this is not too airy-fairy for you. And I'll stop that, send it off to you, and see if it makes sense. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks a lot for having a tour of the scrambled brain. I think if you listen to me enough, you can see how the various ideas come together. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.